Happy New Year and welcome to another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, head blogger for ChannelBuzz.ca and, as usual, your host for the podcast. This year, as in previous years, we're going to be bringing you some podcasts off the top of the year with some site sponsors, kicking off the year, looking back at 2013 and looking forward to 2014 in the Canadian Channel. But before we do that, today we're bringing you a couple of very important vendors in the Channel community with their thoughts on the year that was and the year that will be. Joining us on today's show will be Chris Doggett, Senior Vice President of Corporate Sales for Kaspersky North America, and Stefan Bockhop, Director of Channel Sales for Lenovo Canada. Both men share their opinions on 2013 and their predictions for 2014, so let's get right down to it. It's almost a little cliche to say this, but 2013 was a big and interesting year in the security world, and of course, one would hazard a guess. I'm going to go to limb here and say 2014 probably bringing more of the same. Here to discuss the year that was 2013 and what he's seeing for 2014 and what it all means for his channel partners, Chris Doggett, SVP of Corporate Sales for the Americas at Kaspersky Lab. Chris, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, Rob. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for reaching out to us.
I guess let's start maybe with a look back at the year that was. You know, what have you guys seen as sort of the big security issues, the big security stories of the year, and how is that? How have your partners reacted to that?
Yeah, I think it's been as you pointed out, a very active year in the world of security, and we've seen a lot of different developments. We've seen an explosion of malware written for mobile devices, and that's not too surprising to those of us in the security community because, of course, that has followed on the heels of an explosion of device usage. And what we've been seeing for, you know, at least a couple of years now is obviously that users are favoring tablets and favoring smartphones and the like, and they're adding them at great, you know, volumes, and of course the bad guys see that as another platform that they can go after, and of course being a fairly new platform, it's rife with vulnerabilities and opportunities for them to compromise those devices. So we've seen that go on the global front. We've seen a lot of new information around cyber espionage and things of on the global scale or the national scale. So whether it was some of the revelations that came out of the Snowden leaks, or you know, things that we've seen in terms of major attacks that have occurred, most recently attacks like IceFog, and some of the other attacks that we've noted and released earlier this year, NetTraveler, and some of those, we've seen a lot of activity both on the political front in terms of state-sponsored or state-supported hacking activities, and also on the economic front as well, with the appearance of cyber mercenaries. So, on a global level, there's been a lot of very interesting developments and really unprecedented developments that happened in 2013, and of course, underlying all of that. Is the what I'll call the, you know, the same blocking and tackling that security professionals have had to deal with for the last, you know, umpteen number of years, you know, better part of a decade, which is, you know, protecting company infrastructure and data and systems from attacks, and that has not let up one bit, and in fact, you know, the industry has continued to progress in terms of its sophistication, the cybercrime industry, that is, and therefore the good guy industry, those of us who are solution providers or software developers for security, have had to continually up our game as well, because whether they're cyber criminal units or they're state-sponsored units, their level of success, unfortunately, has continued to grow, with, you know, very notable attacks on major companies, be it Adobe, be it Google, you know, all sorts of name brand companies have been compromised in a variety of ways over the last year, and that's proven that as good as we think we are and know we are in the world of security, the bad guys are often trying to get one step ahead of us.
Mm. You know, you mentioned Snowden and that side of things. Like, you know, it's often been said by partners that high profile security breaches at corporations or elsewhere can be a real catalyst for security sales because, you know, you see executives of businesses see these stories on the front page and it creates a certain level of urgency around the impetus to not be the next ones in that position. A little bit different scale when you're talking about some of the privacy issues that came to light through, you know, through Snowden and you know the revelations about Prism and those sorts of things. But have those changed the conversation around privacy and to a greater degree security for your channel partners?
Yes, I think both. I think very broadly, we have been forced to become less naive in general, and I mean we in the proverbial broad we. That people are much less trusting now about the privacy that they have and the security of their information. You know, we're waking up to the fact that much, if not all, data is not private in many contexts, and that there's a lot of very sophisticated effort to gather and garner information, and that the security that many of us assumed was in place, be it intentional or otherwise, in fact was not really there, and so trust has taken a big hit from a privacy standpoint, and I think that's going to have broad-reaching ramifications in the business world and for our partners as it relates to things like cloud storage and it relates to how they also view the importance of doing various types of security infrastructure, be it encryption or VPNs or other things. So definitely that's had a significant impact, I think, and will to your point, accelerate the priority of the conversation.
All right, great. You touch on encryption. Certainly one of the areas that you guys expanded into with launches this year and the new Endpoint for Business product. Can you give us a little bit of an update on how that's gone and basically how partners have been embracing some of the new areas that you guys are pushing into with your products?
Absolutely. Yeah, as you mentioned, we significantly expanded the breadth of our endpoint security product capabilities. And specifically what we've done is we've added functionality like encryption, systems management, vulnerability and patch management capabilities, and additional controls around device, application, and web control, which have allowed us to be more sophisticated about some of the things that we're counting on our endpoint devices to be able to do these days and where we need security, which is at the endpoint, not just on the network.
All right, great. Shifting gears a little bit from looking back to breaking out the crystal ball maybe a little bit, what do you guys have your eyes on for 2014? And I guess by proxy and by relation to that, what should your partners have their eye on heading into 2014?
Well, I think what we're seeing looking forward and what our expectations around developments in security are in 2014, I think we're going to see a continued increase in the threats that are impacting the mobile landscape, threats and attacks. And I think specifically we're going to see more instances of fraud and theft that's propagated in particular on Android devices because that's where most of the malware is being written. In fact, over 90% of the malware right now is targeting the Android platform. So I think we'll see fraud and theft of information from mobile devices. I think we expect to see some increases in Trojans and the ransomware approach, if you will. And on the corporate side, I think we will see attackers using that as one of the weak links in the chain to get access to corporate data that they're trying to steal. So I expect for our partners there will be increasing demand around Android security in particular and mobile security and mobile device management in general. So that's one area. I think another area that we're expecting to see a significant increase based on what has recently come to light in some of the Snowden information and in some recent examples are cloud storage attacks. And I think for our partners who are working with remote data centers, working with cloud service providers, there's going to be a lot of opportunity there because I think there's going to be that we're expecting to see that attackers are seeing that as one of the easier points of compromise or vulnerability for corporate networks, that they're bigger targets because they typically contain many, many companies' information, and that they are, in general, a softer target than many corporations have made their own on-prem networks. Our partners, service providers who work in that space, I think are going to have increasing opportunities, and there's going to be a lot of work that needs to be done to strengthen the security of those environments. And so that's going to range from a variety of things, you know, from infrastructure and network security infrastructure to encryption, and certainly there'll be professional services opportunities around policy and vulnerability work that's done there as well. A third area is I think we're expecting to see other attacks on software developers. You know, we've seen in the past big companies that were notable like RSA a while back, which led to follow-on attacks at some of the major government contractors. More recently, Adobe had its source code compromised, and I think we expect to continue to see that. Attackers are targeting major software developers for a few reasons. One, it helps them find vulnerabilities so that they can go out and attack companies with that knowledge, and in particular, zero-day vulnerabilities, that is to say, previously undocumented vulnerabilities that are very valuable. And number two, it may afford them the ability to find other ways to compromise the infrastructure through things like backdoors or being able to compromise the code there. And so I think that's going to be something we'll continue to see be an important component. And for our channel partners and for security solution providers, there's a lot of work to be done for their customers around vulnerability management, patch management, and the like, based on those things having happened. Probably the fourth and last point I'll note that we're expecting to see for 2014, Rob, is that cyber mercenaries are certainly a well-established presence these days. I mean, the most recent major attack that we released some research on was IceFog, and long story short there was that cyber mercenaries had been hired to attack the Japanese industrial defense infrastructure, and one can speculate about who hired them and for what purpose, but it was very clear that these folks to us were hired to propagate an attack. And as we see cyber espionage being something that's more commonly used both by governments to aid friendly companies within their state and between companies, that may even be something that turns into a competitive necessity. In other words, as the ethical boundaries are lowered in terms of proactively attacking other organizations to garner information that helps you be successful in business occurs, we may see that become much more prevalent. And certainly there are mercenaries out there who are ready, willing, and able to do that. So we're expecting to see that increase as well. Those guys obviously use a broad array of different ways of attacking organizations and stealing information. And so that'll cause everybody to up their game, across all fronts, both traditional and emerging security fronts.
All right. One of the I wouldn't say it's an emerging trend because it's something that's been going on for a while, but certainly accelerating, I think, in the channel is the embrace of managed security services and or including more security type services in a managed services offering. You guys have been in that game for a little while now. I'm curious what you're seeing as sort of the next layer of security services or the next opportunity in managed security services for solution providers.
Well, I think there are a lot of different opportunities for a variety of reasons. One, the technologies available to provide to be used as a platform to provide managed security services have continued to expand. So there are lots of different innovations that solution providers can offer their customers now in terms of what they can do for their customers. And I think that's a great area for people to expand their business because they can craft different solutions which are differentiated and valuable and go out there and offer them. So I think that's one driver or aspect that impacts their business. I think we also see that there's an increasing need to correlate information, and lots of companies have lots of different pieces of technology and platforms that they're trying to make sense of in terms of information feeds. And as they've gotten more sophisticated and the technology has gotten more sophisticated, a lot of times that produces more information to be digested and specifically to be analyzed from a security event management standpoint, for example. And so I think one of the things for managed services providers, one of the opportunities is to be able to pull in that information from a variety of sources and provide a level of analytics that their customers can't necessarily do economically on a small scale in-house. And I think that's an area that we'll see where there's a good opportunity for folks. And then the third, obviously, is that as the business in general has shifted from being predominantly on-prem technology to being data center and cloud-based technology, they're trying to cover a much broader set of systems and a broader infrastructure. And companies need a lot of help with that, and there are certainly some gaping holes in some of the cloud-based approaches right now that solution providers can help fill in terms of security. And so I think that's, from a managed services standpoint, there's a great opportunity there to deploy technologies in some of those other environments and monitor and manage those for their customers.
Thanks for coming aboard.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me.
Another company for which 2013 was a pretty momentous year is Lenovo, and joining us now to discuss the year that was 2013 and the year that hopefully will be 2014, well, definitely will be 2014, is Stefan Bockhoff, Director of Channels for Lenovo Canada. Stefan, thanks for taking the time.
Hey Robert. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I guess to throw it open, perhaps your thoughts on your general thoughts to start with on the year that was 2013 for Lenovo in Canada.
Well, so I'll tell you, our fiscal year actually ends March 31st, so we're just starting our fourth quarter, trying to have a big finish to our fiscal year. But from a calendar year perspective, it was a pretty good year. We had some pretty big milestones through the year. As I think back to what we did and what we accomplished, that were some pretty bright spots out there. So one of the ones that we had a great showing last year at CES, 57 awards last year, just some phenomenal category winners in our convertible devices, our tablet devices, even our desktop devices. And then we had a great attendance, especially from the Canadian partners, at our Accelerate conference. So over 200 attendees from the Canadian marketplace came down to Las Vegas, heard what we were going to do, listened to our plans, listened to our strategy. So great response from the business. And then, one thing I'm real proud of, and in terms of proud of my team and their accomplishments, is we won 8 CRN awards last year. And because that's voted by the partners, that was very appreciative. I was very appreciative of that recognition by our partner community, especially around the fact that we were listening to what they wanted, listening to how to go to market, how to support them better. So that was a that was a great turnout from the partners and a great validation that we're on the right track and the right strategy. And it was a pretty good year for products for us. I would tell you that our servers gained a lot of ground, and you know, we entered the market with a fairly base stack, and we've been moving up the stack as time went on. And our, you know, our RD630 won the award from the Transaction Processing Platform Council, like kind of fastest rip-roaring a server out there. We won some IF design awards on the structure and design of the device, so really moving up the stack in that enterprise space. And then some of the traditional products, or I would say non-traditional products like our X1 Carbon Touch or our Yoga tablets, garnered a ton of press recognition, a ton of awards from the marketplace, and were very commercially successful. So we're now, you know, kind of well-placed in both the retail space as well as where we've always been strong in the commercial space. So it was a really good year, really solid year. All areas of the business grew and had good results. So I'm very pleased with the team's efforts, and I'm hoping we can duplicate that in 2014.
Brilliant, brilliant. Certainly one of the themes for 2013, as the few years before it, was, you know, various ways of phrasing it, but one that's frequently used is the death of the PC. Certainly you guys have taken your own tack on the shifting way that people end user compute in the multi-screen, the PC plus kind of message that you've been spreading the last little while. Curious how the product mix has evolved over the course of 2013 for you guys and where you see it going.
Yeah, I mean, I think you coined a nice phrase there. We use the term PC plus, and there's a whole, you know, there's a whole host of names and terms and conversations going on. But to say in this modern era that personal computing is dead is, you know, it borders on ridiculous. I think it's becoming even more personal. I think it's becoming even more ubiquitous in our life. So where we compute, where we interface with that endpoint, is where I think the marketplace is shifting, where there's some activity shifting. So, you know, we're very committed to that marketplace. We're very committed to that endpoint marketplace. And so you'll see us continue to, you know, try to go, as the great one said, try to go to where the puck is going to be. So as design and consumer demand and corporate demand and user demand says, I need a device that will provide this instance of computing in this form factor, in this category, we would like to be at that form factor. And so that means we'll continue to adapt our convertibles marketplace. We'll continue to push into the tablet market space and, you know, not just the 10-inch tablet, but other size tablet form factors, which are gaining ground. Worldwide, we're continuing to push on the smartphone and the kind of phablet-type markets. And so not yet in Canada, but globally, we are now one of the largest manufacturers of smartphones in the world. So we'll continue to push in those categories because that's really where the transformation is coming, is where and how people compute and how they access that digital world, that digital life is important to us at Lenovo. And we think if you design a better endpoint, if you design a better experience, if you make it better for the customer through innovation, through design, then, you know, you'll be rewarded in the marketplace with a higher volume, with a higher share, which is what we've seen, frankly, in the last little while.
All right. How's that shift in how businesses and individuals compute and how businesses and individuals acquire the various assets that they compute, i.e. the BYOD shift and that sort of thing. How is that changing what your partners do and how your partners approach opportunities in the market?
Yeah, so I think the partner community is very resilient, and I think they have adapted a number of times and continue to adapt a number of times over the years as computing or as technology trends, as technology deployments have moved or shifted over the years. I think the channel has been very resilient and very adaptable to kind of offer the customers what they need, what that ultimate solution looks like, and then, you know, putting it together with the best components, the best pieces of software, hardware, et cetera, they can for the marketplace. So, you know, I think there's a couple of standout areas in the marketplace that are doing quite well. I think the MSP group, the managed service type partners, who are offering a more utilitarian or utility model to their customers, especially in the SMB space, where frankly, they may not have an IT infrastructure or even the department. They may have, you know, that guy, Charlie, is the one who helps us with IT. That may not be the most elegant solution for some of these small businesses. So I think that MSP opportunity there is huge. And I think partners are getting their heads around more and more, you know, this device is not necessarily just a commercial application. This device is not necessarily a consumer type application. What we're looking for is what's the best solution for that customer and what's the best way that customer's, you know, endpoint infrastructure, enterprise stack will be supported, and ultimately will they be able to run their business on. So now as people have had some experience with this, there's, you know, the realities for corporations large and small is, you know, do we support these devices? Do we want support of these devices at a, you know, kind of corporate level that we're used to, or are we okay with a more kind of disposable level support on these hardware devices? And they're making those decisions, and those are financial decisions. And then the partners can adapt their financial model, their business model, to say, okay, here's how we're going to support that in the marketplace. So I think it's exciting. I look at change like this as a great opportunity for those businesses, those vendors, you know, the kind of the whole channel as a whole, to move to, again, where that puck's going, to where that infrastructure change is going, where that spend is going. And those that adapt quickest, I think, will reap some rewards in terms of share, profitability, and maybe shift some market dynamics.
All right, great. Shifting to looking at forward to 2014 a little bit. Certainly, one of the big things for yourselves, for anyone in the PC business, and for the channel is the looming deadline for end of life, end of support for Windows XP. Still, a lot of business machines, in particular, on that platform. What are you guys doing to help foster the migration, and what have you seen partners doing that works to help get their partners off of XP, you know, hopefully by the deadline, and if not, then as soon afterwards as possible?
Yeah, so XP end of support is definitely an area of the kind of market dynamic and an area we're focusing on and trying to enable our partners in a number of areas. So the first is to have the conversation with the customer. So we've got, you know, something like 156 gigabytes of, you know, various white paper, materials, slide decks, et cetera, even kind of mailer templates to kind of send to the customer and say, look, hey, we support you. We know what your infrastructure is. Here's the reality of that infrastructure. So we're spending some time, and obviously materials we give have a Lenovo slant. We're, you know, we're going to offer the hardware and the solutions that we offer, but we're trying to give partners something that they can quickly adapt and quickly use to have a discussion with their customer to say, you know, look, it's time to have this discussion. You can't just put your head in the sand on this one. We've got to have this discussion because, you know, at 0 day vulnerability, at, you know, kind of time of end of support, there won't be any more security patches. There won't be any more activities. And so you don't want to have your business exposed. You don't want to have risk here. You know, plus the reality is support costs are higher on this thing. I mean, if you look at this operating system, by end of support, it's a teenager. Do you really want to run your business on a teenager? I don't know. There's not that many responsible 15-year-olds out there for me, right? So this is a scary proposition for any business owner, large or small. And so there's financial impacts if you decide to stay on this this platform. I'm sure Microsoft will happily take your money for extended service support, but it's very costly, much more costly than, you know, frankly, we think a infrastructure refresh or a look to move to a more modern stance of both your hardware and your operating system. So we're trying to do a lot of education up front, making sure our partners are aware of it, make sure they have the tools to start the discussion. And then, you know, I firmly believe in the channel and I believe in the model that says once the discussion is there, once the solution conversation starts happening, then our partners are excellent at delivering that solution to their customers. And so our hope, our fond wish is that Lenovo will be part of that solution. We can help them kind of deliver that infrastructure in the best way possible for both the customer. And, you know, we hope the partner makes a little money doing it. It's an opportunity to grow their business. And I think this activity will continue up until end of support. But I do believe that there will be laggards to that activity. And so I think throughout the year, throughout the calendar year, this is a viable and valid conversation for, you know, anybody who has XP infrastructure in their business.
All right, great. Aside from that, obviously one huge note on the file for 2014, what else do you see as sort of being the agenda, the plan? What do you see 2014 as having in store for Lenovo and its partners?
I mean, you know, if you have a long-term strategy, you know, for the business, you don't generally, if it's working, you don't generally make too many, you know, tectonic changes to it. You kind of keep the course, keep the pace. And so for us, 2013 was a you know, fairly good year from a calendar point of view. The share numbers from companies like IDC or Gartner will kind of speak to that. So we'll continue to, you know, keep the faith, keep the focus on those areas. And for us, it's a couple of key areas. So our PC Plus drive, our transformation from a company point of view, to continue to not just be that number one PC company, but are we offering the customers that best endpoint, whether it's a tablet device, whether it's a smartphone device in other geographies, as well as our enterprise server stack and NAS storage offerings from our EMCI Omega joint venture. In terms of segments of the marketplace, you know, we continue to be very strong in certain segments, and we'll continue to, we have a saying here, protect and attack. So we'll continue to protect all of our large customers, our legacy relationships, but we'll continue to focus on those parts of the market where we have a lower sense number of share, whether it be in the retail space, increasing our footprint in companies like Best Buy and Staples, or going after SMB or parts of education, parts of the public sector where we don't have as high a share. We'll continue to offer products. And the interesting part is every year since I've been at Lenovo, I have a new set of products. I have a new set of offerings that I didn't have the past year. So there's always an opportunity to have a discussion. There's always an opportunity that says, hey, Mr. Customer, maybe last year we didn't have what you needed, but we listened. And here we are again, and then we're back. And we'd like to talk to you about this technology or this form factor or this device or this solution. And it's interesting, I would tell you, in the last couple of years, it's been a refreshing conversation shifter to say we're not knocking on nearly as many doors as the phone's ringing and they're saying, hey, can you come talk to us, Lenovo? We heard you're pretty good at this sort of thing. And so that has been a kind of a great change in the past couple of years. As we become more and more relevant and known in the marketplace, we're being invited to a lot more discussions with customers, big and small, in terms of how we can help them with their endpoint, with their enterprise stack, with their storage solutions, whatever it may be.
You touched on last year's CES, and it was a big deal for you guys. Some great product announcements and some significant awards along the way. You know, as this goes to air, CES will be convening in Las Vegas for this year. What can partners expect to see at CES this year, or have seen at CES this year as this goes to air?
Well, you know, Robert, I mean, one of the standouts last year for us from a product point of view was our X1 Carbon Touch. And so we've got a follow-on X1 product. We're keeping that Carbon name. It seemed to resonate with a lot of folks. So there's some great refresh around that, some great improvements on this product. You know, at 2.8 pounds, this Ultrabook is really kind of king of the stack. So it'll be a great, you know, kind of king of the Ultrabook device for those business customers. But it is a consumer electronics show, so there'll be some great consumer products there as well. We've got our Beacon product, which is our kind of digital home center, a new foray for us. I think a market that's burgeoning and a great opportunity for us to show what we can do in that segment. Our follow-on products for Horizon desktop, our kind of tabletop desktop, as well as the N308, which is an Android all-in-one desktop for the home, giving customers kind of the bridge between that all-in-one desktop and that large format tablet, a great foray into that marketplace. And, you know, interestingly enough, some of the standouts of our product line are in the visual space. I mean, one of the monitors we're coming out with, the pro version of our monitor for kind of those professional engineer CAD CAM graphics designers, you know, a full a full 4K display for your kind of professional workstation companion is a, you know, for that marketplace is something they've been asking for, something they've been looking for a while. So I think we'll have a good showing at CES. I'm excited to go down and see all the new products. I'm lucky enough to go get to touch them all firsthand and play with them firsthand. So I'll definitely share my insights and my thoughts with any of the partners I see through the course of January and February.
Brilliant, brilliant. Stefan, thanks once again for taking the time. Any parting shots to the Canadian channel community before we wrap this up?
No, just a big thank you to all of our business partners for, you know, their continued support, and I hope they're comfortable to give us feedback and tell us what we're doing right, tell us what we could do a little better. We're always listening for that constructive feedback. And for you, Rob, you know, thanks for being that independent voice of the channel community. I appreciate that you spend some time with us and you share, let us share our insights with the marketplace. So good year for you. Appreciate your support.
All right. Thank you very much. Pleasure having you on. We'll chat again soon.
Super.
All right. That's about all the time we've got for the podcast today. I'd like to thank Stefan and Chris for joining us, you for listening, and of course, the sponsors for making all of this possible. Hey, speaking of sponsors, we'll be back here later this week with another New Year podcast, this time with site sponsors Avnet Technology Solutions. We'll be joined by Brian Abig, who heads up the Canadian organization for Avnet, as well as Global Chief of Avnet Technology Solutions, Phil Gallagher. You won't want to miss this one. Be sure to check it out. But until then, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.